Kia ora and welcome to Joanna Ludbrook of Chicken and Frog Books in Masterton. Hi, Joanna.
Good morning, Featherston. Catherine.
Featherston. Sorry, I put you in the wrong place in the Wairarapa. Featherston, of course it is. It's the centre of the book universe, isn't it?
That's right, it is.
Yeah. Now, The Uprising, The Mapmakers of Crucia, is by Ellis Hunter, who's a New Zealand writer?
Yes, she's from Wellington.
And beautifully illustrated, looking at the cover here.
It is. The pen and the ink drawings by Kirsten Slade, and they are an important part of the story.
And the story is?
The story is, it's a rollicking read. There's danger, difficulties, and a storyline that draws parallels to colonisation, interestingly. It's a bit of a fable. I'd say it's a great read or a read aloud book for sort of 7 to 12-year-olds. It should definitely be in every school library. So it's a sequel to Ellis's 2018 book, The Mapmaker's Race. And while I strongly recommend you do read it, it's not essential. She uses really interesting strategies like reminiscences and bedtime stories to refresh us of the previous plot. So we can then move on to The Uprising. So in the mapmakers race, the Santander children were competing in a mapmaking challenge without their parents. It was a bit like an orienteering course, and they needed to call upon all their strength and resilience, problem-solving skills, bravery, teamwork, all those great things to get through the race, and then they win it. So we meet the same children in The Uprising, but this time with their mother, and they're searching for their father. So he's a map maker, and in a land, as you'd imagine, where there's a greedy dictator wanting all the mineral wealth and the land without thought for any of the landholders' rights, his job's become very dangerous. So there are minerals involved. But this gives the story a depth, and it moves it on from The Mapmaker's Race, the previous book, where there's not an Indigenous person in sight, to suddenly raise interesting issues of colonisation and respect for genealogy and their sacred land. It gets mildly anarchic as the children join the local citizens in the rebellion, that's the name, the uprising, against the leader and the greedy Grania Trading Company. But I can tell you the goodies win. And the parallels drawn with in the present day with any colonised nation are quite thought-provoking and great for discussion.
How are they doing the map-making? Is there a sense of overcoming their own kind of challenges in the pure adventure? How does it happen?
Yes, it is pure adventure. They're a map-making family, so the children have been brought up with this idea of knowing how to survive out in the wilderness. There's also an airship ride. They ride in a dirigible, which is a wonderful name for sort of a steampunk airship. That gives them a true bird's eye view of the land below. And also one of the children, Francie, has a gift for flying in her mind over the land and then drawing very accurate interpretations of all the topographical features. And it's not so much introducing fantasy or magic, but it's like seeing into her imagination or her mind mapping.
That's what the Renaissance mappers did, Ellis, and some of the early mappers of the likes of the United States wants to become the United States. It is an actual skill to be able to visualise and draw that.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Are they different characters, the four of them? Do they have different personalities? And, you know, I'm thinking a bit like the Narnia children. Is there one obvious leader and someone else who's a bit naughty and cheeky?
Right. Yes, they're gorgeous children. They're the four Santander children. And it's set in this new land of Crucia. They all bring wonderful skill sets to it. One is a leader. Little Francie doesn't speak, but she has this wonderful talent for mapping. There are Joe and little Humphrey, so two girls, two boys. And in this one, they actually meet some wonderful locals. It's a very nice, we don't know where it's really set, this land of Kusha. There are camels and colourful markets, but the children learn some of the customs, which is a really nice nod to sort of having manners when you're visiting a new country. And they immediately get very friendly with some young locals. And there's one in particular, Vivi, who brings her legal skills, and she takes the people's case to the land court. But the Santander children bring along the maps, and it's their maps Wonderful. That clinch the outcome
yeah.
To the result. There's also a parrot called Carrot and Vivi's wheelchair named Doris. So we meet Parrot. The Carrot was in the first book as well. So there are nice connections.
There are nice connections. The other thing I was going to ask you, we've got that sense of agency again, haven't we? And this is what really drives children's love of literature, is where the kids are on their own trying to solve a problem or trying to get out of trouble or, in this case, trying to make something that's just happen. And they are the protagonists. They are the ones doing the solving.
They certainly are. In the first book, the adults were all dastardly, I don't know, cheats and nasty people. But it was the children who came through as the winners. And in this one, again, it's the children who are leading this uprising in a very legal, sort of sensible way. My one concern was that the children were too good. I keep thinking, Enid Blyton and Arthur Ransom would have loved them. But I really liked them too. And I did an unscientific survey of some readers, and it appears that children really like them too. So it's maybe just getting away from that bickering and bullying and angsty drama that you get in so many books these days. It's quite refreshing, I think.
Wonderful. And age 7 to 12,
I think. Take you to other places.
Yeah.
So it's got everything you need for a good read. And children would learn, actually, if they ever found themselves in a similar situation, I think it's a valuable book. They could think back and draw on some of these skills.
Wonderful, Joanna. Thank you very much. Joanna Ludbrook of Chicken and Frog Books in Featherston has reviewed The Uprising, The Map Makers of Kusha by Airless Hunter, published by Gecko Press. $20 the price.